Morning. If you have your Bibles, please turn to 2 Peter chapter 1, and it's good to see you in church, and we are so looking forward to even hearing from Brother Holmes tonight, and again, pray about that. Trust that you'll look forward to that as well. 2 Peter chapter 1, I'm going to let you remain seated, but this morning I want to preach a message from this verse here, or actually launching from this verse. Notice in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 4. It says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. The 1994 Disney film Blank Check is about an 11-year-old boy, Preston Waters, that happens to stumble into a bank robber, and trying to just simply flee and kind of get off of the attention of the law, hands this young man a blank check that will correspondingly be able to be cashed for money in the bank. And sure enough, this 11-year-old, he decides to take it up, and he writes the check out to himself, goes to the bank, and walks out with $1 million. And it's all about, of course, what this 11-year-old boy does with the $1 million. But the point of the film is that he has this blank check and he cashes this blank check for $1 million. Now, it is true that blank checks may offer something, but it depends upon the individual that writes the check. For instance, I hate to disappoint you, but if you get a blank check from Dave Clear here today, don't plan on that being worth much. However, if you happen to have a blank check and on the signature you find that this is a legitimate from the account of a Jeff Bezos or an Elon Musk or a Bill Gates, each and every one of those individuals is worth over $100 billion. Do you realize how much $100 billion is? I figured this out. Somebody figured it out actually for me, but somebody figured out that in order to count $100 billion, if you were to make it your job to count single dollar bills, and if you could count 100 a minute, and you could do this 8 hours a day, 5 days a week as your job, it would take you 80 years to just simply count that much. But that would only be 1 billion. Then you have to multiply it by 100. That would mean you would have to live to be 800 million years in order to just simply count. That's a lot of money. Now, the point is this, that you and I do not deal here this morning. We're not dealing primarily here with money. But we are talking this morning about the promises of God. You know, one of the ways to understand that is the promises of God are His blank checks. By the way, this morning, I want you to have great confidence in God coming through. I love this phrase here that as Peter is writing in 2 Peter. By the way, you have to understand that Peter, as he's writing, that this is his swan song. Peter is now about to die. This is literally his last epistle. And as such, he's writing to those that are likewise suffering. They're going through persecution. And what does he say? He says, whereby are given unto us, notice, exceeding great and precious promises. You know, the story has it that the famed missionary Hudson Taylor, the 19th century missionary in China, once went to a bank in London and was trying to take out a loan for his China Inland Mission. And the bank president, as he met with Hudson Taylor, said, well, what collateral do you have for us today? Now, what collateral? Why should we give you this loan? Now, what do you have that's worth anything? And here's what Hudson Taylor wrote on the application. He said, all I've got is 10 pounds and the promises of God. That bank president, because he was a Christian, understood, and knowing that Hudson Taylor got his prayers answered, he immediately said, I approve the loan. He got it. Why? Because that Christian bank president valued the promises of God. This morning, what I want to do in the time that we have, and I know our time is short, but I want to preach to you this morning and talk to you about four spiritual blank checks that I want to just suggest to you, you can take to the bank. You can cash these checks. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you'd use this message and use me as I even portray here what I believe are the great and precious promises of God. And Lord, we've already been even entertained by them this morning. Brother Holmes even alerted us to that you have some great promises. And Lord, help us to cling to the promises of God this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, what are some spiritual blank checks that we can take to the bank? I want to say, first of all, there's the promise of His presence. That is a blank check. For instance, Hebrews 13 and verse number 5 says this, "Let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as ye have. For He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." I think we need to comprehend, by the way, the presence of God, the promise of His presence. When you have God's presence, you have all of God. He is there, all of Him. His wisdom, His power, His might, everything. And you realize that throughout the Bible, that this was something that was very precious to those that had to endure so much, our great heroes of the faith. For instance, it was true with Jacob. After he was mistreated by his father-in-law, Laban, the Bible says that God came to him and said, "Return unto the land of thy fathers," Genesis 31:3, "and to thy kindred, and I will be with thee." The same happened to his son Joseph. Joseph, of course, mistreated. And you find this in the text, that not once, not twice, but three, four times we read that every time that it seemed like Joseph was left alone, mistreated by his brothers, put in prison, abandoned, the Bible says this, the Lord was with him. You see, you just can't get away from the presence of God. Same was true with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, though put in the fiery furnace, feeling like they had been abandoned all alone. There was a fourth one in the fire, and that fourth one was like the Son of God. You think about Daniel's, he was thrown in the lion's den. He was not alone either. For the Bible says that God sent His angel and shut the lion's mouth. And when Daniel was even asked by King Darius, his answer was this, "The Lord has sent His angel." God doesn't leave us alone. You know, the omnipresence of God is a reality, but sadly, it is not realized. You and I need to realize that God is with us. One of the precious promises of the omnipresence of God is when God promised the nation of Israel in Isaiah 43:2, "When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee." You see, you and I, we need to realize that God is with us. God is here. God is always here. You know, I want to just share with you, because you might say, "Well, Pastor, I just don't feel it." That's the problem. How can I feel? We know it's true. The Bible says so, but how can we realize more the presence of God? How when we don't feel? How when we're discouraged? How when all of a sudden we go through those lulls in life? How can we all of a sudden start feeling the presence of God? I want to suggest to you four things. First of all, you need to come clean with God. God will not feel close to you when you're not right with Him. That's why we need to confess our sins. And the Bible promises if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Secondly, we need to praise Him. God inhabits the praises of His people. Psalm 22 and verse number 3 says, "But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel." Have you ever wondered why it is sometimes that you feel closer to God in church? It's not, by the way, the structure. It's basically the presence of God is in His praises. And whenever we sing those songs, when Chandler sang, when the choir sang, when you sing congregational songs, when you hear even the prelude, the songs just simply speak to our heart. Why? Because God is in praise. And when we praise Him, that's why, by the way, you can do that. You don't have to wait until the next Sunday comes around to all of a sudden feel the presence of God. You need to take it away. How many of you have ever done this? You go home and you start singing a song you heard in church. Or all of a sudden you start listening, maybe online radio, or maybe it might even be a CD, some song. All of a sudden, and your spirit is all of a sudden close to Him. Actually, He never left. It's just you and I realizing. How can we seek Him? How can we make Him real? Come clean with Him, praise Him. But then number three, say His name. You know, we do not say the name of Jesus enough. It's interesting, the early church, that they actually forbid them. And they said, we want you to stop saying that name of Jesus. You keep preaching, and everywhere you go, we hear Jesus this and Jesus that. We want you to stop preaching that name. You know, Peter and John just couldn't do that. In fact, they even said, we find this verse famously in Acts 4 and verse number 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. And they then went on to say, we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Listen, you and I, we need to say the name of Jesus. Say it often, say it all the time. Say the name of Jesus. But then number 4, we need to pray. Prayer is realizing His presence. It is the heart cry of a child to a heavenly Father. The Bible says this in Romans 8, verse 15, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. It's interesting, two places in the Bible, here and elsewhere, when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, you realize Jesus said, Abba, Father? You know what that phrase basically means? It is a desperate cry of a child. Now, I think, by the way, we need to be much more like a child. And we need to sometimes say, when was the last time you literally in your mind just simply fell into the arms of your Heavenly Father? You literally cried out to Him. That you literally went to Him just like you would a parent. That we need to do that. We need to cry, Abba Father. We need to pray like that. When we do that, we all of a sudden realize the very presence of Him. I want to just simply suggest that it is a promise that God has promised never to leave us, never to forsake us. His promise is He will always be present. Take that to the bank. Cash that check. But not only that promise, but secondly, let me mention this one here, the promise of His provision. A couple of verses come to mind. Of course, Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Another verse I've always loved is Psalm 37:25. I've been young and now I'm old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. These are precious promises. These are blank checks. By the way, they are blank checks, but they are conditional blank checks. You know, there's some promises that don't have conditions, but these do have conditions. What are the conditions? Well, in Psalm 37:25, David made this condition. He said, I have not seen, notice, the righteous forsaken. He didn't promise that for everybody, but He promised that for those who are right, those who are right with God. Likewise, in Philippians 4 and verse number 19, where Paul said, but my God shall supply all your need. I think you need to study the context in that particular chapter and find out the your was the Philippians, and the Philippians had just got done doing right by their money. They gave an offering, a gift to Paul. Paul in turn said, you know what? You givers, my God is going to supply all your need. Now, by the way, that is not a health and wealth promise. That is not the prosperity gospel. By the way, notice in that verse, God promised to, in that verse that my God shall supply all your, it didn't say wants, but it says needs. You know, I know a lot of folks, boy, they mispreach and misteach that and say, well, tell you what, you know, if you start tithing, all of a sudden you're going to be driving a new car. Maybe not. If you start tithing, if you start giving to God, if you start giving to missions, you know, all of a sudden you're going to be living in a mansion. Maybe not. It's not, that's not a need. That is not a need that you and I have. Let me just, by the way, give this Hudson Taylor quote. I came across, I love it, I've quoted it, I've even made it a life principle. He said this, he said, God's work done in God's way will never lack God's supply. You know, consider the Apostle Paul in Philippians 4 when he was writing that he had his needs met. He didn't have much. If you read Philippians 4, he said, I've learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I've learned both to be abased and how to abound. I've learned that to suffer. I've learned, you know, to be comforted. All of these different things, different situations. He had all of his needs met. He may not have been living in luxury, but he was living in contentment. Paul was content. You know, I want to remind you, by the way, of the George Mueller test. You know, when thinking about the provision of God, we have to consider George Mueller, who from 1836 to 1898, that is 62 years, he put God to the test. How was that? He started a ministry, and basically what George Mueller did is he looked around all around London and he saw all of these orphans, all of these kids. And all of these children, and it's basically, by the way, the same setting as the musical Oliver, and you had all of these orphans, many pickpockets, and just kids running the streets, just vagabonds. And as they're running the street, his heart as a Christian was somebody needs to take care of the kids. So he decided, I'm going to start an orphanage. Guess what he had to start with? Nothing. George Mueller decided that his ministry was going to be a ministry that would prove God by faith. He determined to tell nobody except God in his personal prayer life. He never told about a need. He never announced it, never publicized it, never was in a newspaper. Nobody ever heard it from his lips except God in his personal prayer life. And for over the years, he would get on his knees, and every single day, when George Mueller died, they found a diary in which he had recorded over 50,000 answers to prayer. 30,000 of those were the same day that he prayed and said, God, and many of them were, God, send bread today. And all of a sudden, a bread truck would break down, or all of a sudden, milk would show up at the door, or all of a sudden, there would be some money in the mail. And over the years, when he died in 1898, it was discovered that without even announcing what his needs were and without getting a single penny of support from the government, that he received the equivalent of, in today's terms, over $500 million. How did he do that? Because he had a God who promised to provide his needs. He had a God who promised to provide the needs of the children. He had a God who promised to provide for the orphans. Now listen, that you and I can get in on that as well. If we will do God's work in God's way, we will never lack supply. There's the promise of his provision, but then number three, there's the promise of his power. For this promise, I think of two verses, Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And then Isaiah 40 in verse number 31, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Now, again, we think about these verses. These verses, too, are conditional verses. God does not promise to strengthen anything you want to do, but he does promise to strengthen anything he wants you to do. See, I saw one time a famous boxer claim this verse. He said, I'm a Christian, and so I'm going to claim, you know, this verse here, and I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That means that I'm going to always win every boxing match because I'm going to claim Christ. I don't think so. It's not for you to claim for yourself, for your gain, but it's for his honor, for his glory. By the way, the promise Jesus made to his disciples in Acts 1:8 was this, but ye shall receive power. By the way, he wants power, but it's not power for us, but it's power for him. Power for witnessing, power for soul winning, power for telling others the gospel. You think about, you know, even Evangelist Holmes as he has this ministry over these years. And one of these strange things, I hope you don't mind me saying this, but Brother Holmes, when I was talking to him last night, said, you know, actually, I was growing up, I wasn't really into sports. But here's a guy that his whole ministry is playing volleyball. It's, you know, out there on the court playing match after match after match. You see, there's power when you do what God wants you to do in his power and his might. There's a promise. You can take that blank check to the bank. But then there's one more, and that is number four, the promise of his love. And for this I chose Jeremiah 31, verse 3, the Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Now, this is, by the way, what makes God's love distinct. There's something said in this verse. He said, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Now, by the way, that is different than what you and I can say. Sometimes, by the way, in our earnestness and in our genuine love, we will express maybe to a spouse, might be to our children, I'll love you forever. But do you realize that that is not the same as God saying, I have loved thee with an everlasting love? You see, that everlasting means there was no beginning and no end. And there's nothing, there's never ever a downtime. We're never going to have. And by the way, when God loves you, he loves you completely. There's no on-off switch. You and I, we love incomplete, but he loves eternally. How do we know this? We know this because he sent his only begotten Son. And Jesus Christ was sent to this earth so that you and I could have salvation. Why? Through his blood, as Chandler was preaching, thank you, Jesus. You see, because of his love, because of that, we have the promise of everlasting life. Jesus said this, or actually John said this about this in 1 John 4:10, here in his love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. You realize, by the way, this morning that God loves you? God loves you. God loves you individually. I close with this illustration. For over 50 years, radio personality Terry Wogan charmed audiences in Ireland. And it was very interesting as one day his program, Wake Up to Wogan, he had all of these listeners, but he was asked the question one time, Mr. Wogan, how many listeners do you have? He said, only one. I said, well, that's strange. He said, no, in my thinking, he said, I've only got one listener. By the way, that was the great connection that man had with his audience. Why? Because it didn't matter where you were in that audience. He actually had over, it is said, 8 million listeners. 8 million people woke up with him listening to him on the radio. But every single one of them thought they were the only one. Did you know that that's not just simply a comparison, but that is actually the truth with God? That God loves you. If you were the only person on this earth, God would still love you. In the Disney film, Blank Check, young Preston had only one blank check, but look at us, we've already looked at four today. This morning, I want to encourage you, cash in those checks. Just trust the blessed promises of God. Let's have every head bowed and every eye closed. God will make good on his promises, but you and I have to believe. God has precious, great, and precious promises for blank checks, spiritual checks that you can take to the bank. In just a moment, we're going to have an invitation as Kimberly plays. I'm going to encourage you to consider this morning, maybe one of those blank checks you want to cash in this morning. It may be the blank check of his presence, and it may be that you need to say, listen, I want to feel his presence more. I'm going to start applying some of those things. I know that he said, I'll never leave you, but sometimes I feel it. I'm going to do one of those four things you mentioned, Pastor. I want to feel his presence. Or maybe this morning, it's the promise of his provision. Listen, God's work done in God's ways will never lack for supply. God is always going to provide for your need when you're doing his will. But this morning, maybe you need to cash in that check and just simply say, by the way, that'd be a great thing for this church to claim. Be a great thing as we are even considering our missions and giving to missions. I have done that many, many times. You know, from one standpoint, you know, it doesn't make sense, you know, to give our money to missions, you know, when we need it for other things. But, you know, I found this true. You can never outgive God, and God is pleased, and God has always come through. And when we put God first, when we put him to the test, just like, you know, I mentioned a George Mueller that just simply had a burden for the lost children of his neighborhood and his area in London. He said, somebody's got to create an orphanage. And 2,000 orphans came to his orphanage. Many of them came to know Christ as Savior. God took care of his need, $500 million raised. And yet he didn't even start out with a penny, and he didn't even mention a need. But God provides. Maybe you need to cash in that blank check. Maybe it's the blank check of his power. As we consider the great need of getting the gospel out, we need the precious and great power of God. And then finally, the promise of his love. Do you realize your love this morning? If you're here this morning, you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Your greatest need this hour is to trust in him who loved you with an everlasting love. Let's all stand, and as Kimberly plays, you step out and come.